Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 is our next scripture. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for your living word. Prepare the way for it now to come into our midst and into our lives here as we listen. We pray that it will be effective to produce repentance and the fruit of repentance in our lives. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have noticed that the Christmas season is full of different kinds of gaps. There's the gap between the total cost of all the items on your Christmas list and the amount of money that you actually have to spend, that gap. There's the gap between how many different holiday events you plan to participate in and what the limitations on your time may actually be. There's the gap between how you imagine your children will perform at that school program and how they actually end up behaving when up in public. There's the gap between how much holiday baking you plan to do and how much you can actually get done within that time frame. As I said, the Christmas season is full of different kinds of gaps. And one of the hardest gaps for us to deal with this time of the year is simply our overall vision of what Christmas will turn out to be compared to how it may actually turn out to be. That gap, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow." Now that's a beautiful sentiment accompanied by lovely music. When was the last time you actually experienced a Christmas fully like that? There's that gap again. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to sneak in here and be the Grinch, steal your Christmas, and silence your joy during this season of the year. That's important. I really do want you to experience Christmas in a way that uplifts you, that elevates your aspirations. But I also want to encourage realistic expectations about what this season of the year can actually deliver to us compared to what we often hope or think it may deliver to us. December is when millions of Americans suffer from what's called seasonal affective disorder, or what's often called the holiday blues. Even folks who aren't experiencing a formally diagnosed condition can go through periods of discouragement or disappointment, sadness, especially this time of the year. And many kinds of different factors can be involved in that. Sometimes there are relationship issues and events from the past that haunt families and their relationships, their sense of togetherness, or hinder that sense of togetherness this time of the year. Sometimes it's difficult to see ourselves or other family members aging, declining in health, or maybe our capabilities. Sometimes it's national, maybe, or international events that can create fear or worry, despair, and uncertainty. What if this year you live in Ukraine, fearful about whether you'll have heat or light this winter? What if your family member was killed in a recent mass shooting? What if your home or your belongings were destroyed by flood or fire or some other natural disaster? If you're in one of these kinds of situations, are you dreaming of a white Christmas? No, you may just want to make it through the holidays. Just make it through, comforted in some way, uplifted in some way, with your hope renewed to some degree. So those are some of the factors that can be involved, and sometimes it's financial distresses or stresses, particularly the burden of excessive debt during the holiday season with overspending. That can contribute to feelings of discouragement or maybe even depression. Sometimes grief over the death of a loved one, particularly during the past year, that grief can get magnified or intensified this time of the year in this season. And as much as anything else, I think, unrealistic expectations of endless holiday bliss, which really get fueled by the endless supply of images and shows and music and other kinds of things that flow into our lives, which can have great benefit and blessing to us, but can also elevate our expectations to unrealistic levels about what this season should be. The bottom line is that this gap between what we hope Christmas will be and how it actually turns out in our lives, this gap can often be a source of discouragement or distress or anxiety for us. And there are plenty of recommendations about what to do about it, how to handle this gap between Christmas dreams and Christmas realities. Different people have different kinds of recommendations and advice. Getting more light, especially sunlight, exercising more, getting more physical activity into your life, focusing on making pleasant memories, performing acts of service for other people. These are some of those recommendations. Or maybe even just simply setting more realistic goals for yourself or for other people in your life. These can all help offset the effects of the holiday blues and make Christmas, even if not completely more deeper or satisfying, at least not as difficult as it can be for many people in their lives this time of the year. But there are other kinds of options, and we need to look at this from the vantage point of life as followers of Jesus within the life of the church, where we do even more. For one thing, we gather for worship. We let the themes of this time of the year renew us. We let them reinforce our hope in Christ. We don't, in our case, just go over on a snowy journey over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. We actually go out into the desert, we're told, to hear a preacher named John. And we know him best as John the Baptist. He stands out, doesn't he, as sort of an odd character, especially this time of the year, the way he dresses, what he eats, the way he looks. He doesn't really come across as a jolly old soul, all decked out in the colors and accessories of the season. Instead, he's actually one of the most undecorated people will ever meet in the scriptures. When we look more closely at him, he wears the typical garb of the poor. That's the way he dresses. He survives on a diet of bugs with a little extra measure of sweetener in there too. And you look more closely, well-groomed, he is certainly not. In fact, if we had encountered him a few weeks ago, he would have fit right in with what's sometimes referred to as No Shave November. Some of you may have heard about it. It's a time, since many cancer patients struggle with losing their hair, it's a time when many folks get involved in fundraising, and men can participate by growing a beard or a mustache, and then take the money that you would have spent on grooming yourself and donate that to cancer causes. If anyone would love No Shave November, I think it would certainly be John the Baptist. It looks like, when we think of him, no shave is a year-round kind of thing, not just a November way of life. And it's not just how he looks. It's what he says. It's what he preaches. It's not really your typical upbeat seasonal kind of message. Instead of warm and gentle sermons like Merry Christmas or holiday blessings or joy to you or certain kinds of things like that, John says something different. He says, repent. Repent. God's kingdom has arrived. So change your life. Straighten up and fly right. Even save some of his harshest words for some of the religious leaders. When they come out to hear his preaching and to see what he's doing, he says, who warned you to come out here, you nest of snakes? Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Now try putting that on the inside of a Christmas card, especially this time of the year, and especially if it's a card going to good church-going religious folks. See how that goes over. Actually, it turns out that John's rustic look, this appearance, this sharp-edged preaching that he goes about is a blessing this time of the year. He often shows up this time of the year in the Sundays leading up to Christmas celebrations as we live our lives in this urgent time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. In other words, the God who arrived, he says, through the incarnation will come to bring consummation. Bring consummation, finishing the work of salvation that was launched at the manger. And a big part of what this means for us is that our primary business isn't getting ready for Christmas. It's getting ready for Christ. That's at the heart of John's message. Prepare, says John. Get ready by seeing how some of the ways in your own life are contradicting God's ways. Get ready by seeing where your own life isn't aligned the way it needs to be with the will of God. Get ready by seeing the gaps, those gaps, not just between what you expect Christmas to be and the way it actually turns out. Get ready by seeing where the gaps are between God's ways and your ways, between what God wants and what you want. And as you see these gaps, he says, turn away from this old way of life and turn toward a kingdom of God kind of life, aligned with his will, his purposes. Remember that John is a messenger sent from God, and in particular a prophet. When we think about prophets and prophecy, we sometimes think of folks who predict events in the future, maybe based particularly on certain interpretations of various Bible passages. We associate prophecy with ministries that focus on a particular scenario of events leading up to the coming of Christ, the end time, the establishment of God's kingdom. And sometimes prophets do that in the scriptures, but most of the time when we hear prophets speaking out of the scriptures, prophets are much more than just forecasters of world events. Prophets are sent primarily in the scriptures, and as we hear them speaking into our own lives today, prophets are sent primarily to call people, especially God's people, back to God, to return to God. They aren't dispatched, these prophets, primarily to speak soothing sermons about how all is well. It's true, prophets often bring words of consolation or comfort or hope or encouragement, but it's always part of a larger package that includes news about sin, about disobedience, about these things in our lives. So prophets spend a lot of their time trying to identify where are these gaps between God's righteousness and our unrighteousness, between God's ways and our ways, between God's will and our wills. They open our eyes, these prophets do, to the distance between what God intends and what we're actually doing or not doing. In other words, prophets are sort of a living wake-up call to us, and they expose this unholy space between what we profess and what we actually end up practicing in our lives. Jesus himself was a prophet. Now, granted, as God's son, he was more than just a prophet, but many who heard him and watched him and followed him recognized that he was sent from God, and he was sent from God partly to do prophetic kinds of things. In fact, in the very next chapter of Matthew, when Jesus begins his public ministry, he preaches essentially the same sermon that John the Baptist preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. And then as the story unfolds, his presence, his ministry, his miracles regularly come up against people and institutions and practices that don't really want to hear about, don't want to hear about or respond to this new reality called the kingdom of God that's now on the scene and calling for repentance. That's because receiving the good news that Jesus preached and practiced also involves receiving the bad news. The good news has this bad news baked into it about our sin, our disobedience, our need for confession and repentance, about our need to turn away from the ways of a world that's passing away and turn toward this reality that has come through Jesus Christ called the kingdom of God, and entering it by faith in him and living the kind of life that truly embodies and reflects the kingdom of God. Now, that kind of turning, that closing of the gap between God's ways and our ways, that can be a hard and painful kind of thing in our lives, isn't it? It requires an honest look at reality, the reality about God, the reality about ourselves. But as I said earlier in this sermon, this is the time of the year when it can be hard to be in touch with reality. There are so many messages coming at us from so many different directions, and we often get, like I said earlier, so swept up in unrealistic expectations about Christmas itself that we end up disappointed, maybe, at the way it all turns out when it's done. And if that's the way it is for us, imagine then how it must be for God, who has his own vision of what he intends his world, his creation, our lives to be, and how it actually is because of our disobedience or our failure to follow his word and do his word in our lives. In other words, there's this huge gap as well between God's expectations of his world in our lives and how things actually are in the state of our lives. So what's to be done about this? In and of ourselves, it's impossible for us to bring life here on this earth, our lives, up to the standards of God's righteousness, God's expectations, the expectations of heaven. So what can be done? What needs to happen in order to close this gap between the way God intends things to be in us and the way that they actually are. According to our scripture passage, it takes more than just a new resolve to try to get Christmas right this time around. It takes more than that, actually. It takes more than just a few tips for coping with holiday stress. It takes more than just trying to add a few more decorations or lights to the mood and the atmosphere. It takes more than that. It takes more than just being optimistic. It takes more than holding on to wishes that may never really come true. It takes more than all of these kinds of things. What it takes, we're told, is Emmanuel, God with us, God coming to us to save us from our sins. That's what it takes to close this gap between God's righteousness and our unrighteousness. It takes really the kinds of things that John the Baptist talks about. It takes divine power. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes heavenly fire. It takes the reign of God, really, this kingdom of God invading the world and coming into our lives where we're often so just settled with the present state of who we are and what things are like and in our own spirituality. I think it takes what we really get in this scripture passage today. It takes a preacher like John the Baptist, unadorned, undecorated, and yes, unshaven, saying to us, this is how things are. This is how things are. This is what's happening, though, by God's grace. This is how things are in the world and in your life. But this is what's happening now by God's grace. And this is what you need to do about it. Turn to the Lord, His reign, His kingdom, life in Christ and through Christ. A big part of what we hear in this scripture passage today is that there is this gap. But through Jesus Christ, God has closed the gap. That gap between His expectations and the way we actually are. The gap between His righteousness and our unrighteousness. The gap between His will and our will. The gap between His ways and our ways. God has closed that gap through Jesus Christ in order that we may have right relationship with God and with each other so that we can have communion with God and with each other. God has closed that gap, and Jesus has fulfilled those expectations of God for us on our behalf so that we can know the Lord and be in relationship with Him and with each other the way that He intends us to. So it's important during this season, like I started out the whole message, this season of high expectations that we have, to remember most of all, what are God's expectations of me and of our church and of us? What are God's expectations of us? How are we falling short of God's expectations of us? How am I falling short of God's expectations of me? To look realistically and honestly at ourselves, individually and together, but also to be reminded of what God has done through Christ for us to close that gap between His expectations of us and how we really are. To close that gap and bring us into relationship with Him through Jesus' death for our sins and His resurrection and His reign. This is a season of high expectations. Let's remember what God has done for us to meet those expectations and how we need to turn to Him and entrust ourselves to Him and live faithfully for Him as disciples of Jesus Christ, especially during this season of the year and what we want it to be. Let's pray. O Lord, God of righteousness and faithfulness, thank You for Your vision and Your purpose and Your expectation of what You want the world to be, what you want us to be. Help us to see more clearly how we fall short of your glory, but how merciful you are in Christ to come to us, to save us from our sins, and to close the gap and fulfill those expectations for us through Christ. Guide us now as we continue on into this season of the year with great expectations to have more of Christ in us, fulfilling your expectations, what you want us to be. We pray in his name.